Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban to our listeners to this edition of the Truthful Connection, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Marcus Sahaba Online, Sautu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Insha'Allah, we will now be crossing over to our brother Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam for our discussion on the Parliament affairs and, you know, what's going on in South Africa at the moment, as we did have our elections on the 29th of May. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ahmad Manzoor.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just arrived in Johannesburg at our Tambo airport right now, but all is well, alhamdulillah.
Firstly, I think the first issue we have to discuss is, what is the difference between a coalition government and a government of national unity, as it seems like this is the route that our country is taking, the government of national unity route?
Well, first of all, I think we must be mindful of the circumstances under which we find ourselves, where the current or the former government is not in a position which they were previously, a position of privilege, where they are able to govern the country by virtue of having a 50% plus one majority. They find themselves in a situation, and if you remember, their performance has been deteriorating over the last 30 years, that it has now got to an extent where they have lost that 50 plus 1%, which means they are now compelled to work with other political parties. Now, added to that is the problem of that they are find themselves in a very difficult position to enter into a coalition government, in a coalition government where they could still have an absolute control. And so what government is doing now, talking about a government of national unity, in the case of a government of national unity, government will now be compelled to issue and provide ministerial positions and things, because you'll now be governing together, which simply means that opposition parties, the ANC will still maintain as the larger party more of, I think, the ministerial positions and things, cabinet posts and things, whereas other parties will also be offered positions in terms of different ministries and deputy ministries of that nature. Remember, it's not something that the ANC wants. They have unfortunately found themselves in a situation where they are compelled to do that, where they are compelled to even share those portfolios. Previously, they are not. Even in coalition governments, you're not compelled. They used to provide you with, chairpersons of portfolio committees, and perhaps one here and there, which in fact was their right. And if you noticed in the last session, the sixth parliament, Patricia de Lille was the Minister of Public Works and then Tourism. So yes, that's the thing. The situation right now is you are compelled to work with others, means you will govern together. That is what we call a government of national unity. But I also want to say that it would appear to me that the ANC particularly is choosing the route of a government of national unity for their own selfish reasons. They find themselves in a very difficult position, and by the fact that they just have over 40%, which means, and there are political parties, and if you look at the status quo right now, it's very difficult for them. More importantly, I think they're trying to run away from the fact of working with the MK party. Political parties are going to be making demands. But I can tell you the dangers of what that government of national unity can pose, particularly for the likes of Cyril Ramaphosa, the current deputy president, Paul Mashatile, with serious allegations against them of corruption and things like that. All you need is for them not to want to enter into agreements with the MK party and things, and the others. The EFF has already said they're not going to be part of it. MK said they're not part of it. Action SA said they're not of it. All the ANC can find themselves, if they do go into one of these, with the 40% only that they have, there will be pressure. And remember, there are already comments to that effect from Helen Ziller, from the Freedom Front, that they will want to bring back the charges of the Palapala scandal and what's happening with Paul Mashatile. So that is the risk that the ANC finds itself currently in. So yes, they are in a very precarious position. No option but want to go this route. But at the same time, it would appear not wanting to go into a deal with the MK party. If they had to go in with the MK party, let us be honest, with their 40 and the 18%, they can govern comfortably. Same thing with KZN and things like that. But of course, I think it's the demands that are going to be made by all sides that is going to decide whether the government of national unity at this present time will work. However, I just want to say that some parties have indicated the IFP, the NFP with one seat in the provincial legislature, and others. It now means that the ANC, which repeatedly said, and the largest Muslim population in South Africa wanted to have nothing with the Zionist DA party, now find themselves where the ANC has decided that, and well, I won't say decided. In my view, I don't think they have an option. Negotiations are taking place with the DA, and we know the negotiations have been taking place for a long period of time. So it's no longer about Palestine. It's no longer about the ICJ. It's going to be about what is best for the ANC right now. And for all intents and purposes, I think they're going to go in a coalition with the DA and others.
Can you just explain to us, GNU in itself, government of national unity in itself, what is the, what we'd call the good, the bad, and the ugly of this kind of government?
Well, let me say, pre 7th of October, you know, what happened, and we saw the true colors of the Zionist party, and those pro-Zionists, which includes the IFP. Because I used to be with the NFP, I was always pro-Palestine, so I could keep them on track and make sure that, you know, we were pro-Palestine, we were pro-human rights and things like that. What will happen now, we don't know there. But the problem is, government of national unity for South Africa could have been one of the best things. It can be one of the best things. Because let's be honest, the ANC and all parties, I repeat, all parties, wherever they govern, have failed the people. Whether you talk about the DA in the Western Cape, you talk about the ANC in the rest of the country, you talk about the IFP in KwaZulu-Natal, you talk about the coalition government in Nelson Mandela Bay, City of Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, all have failed to provide the quality services our people rightfully deserve. So the coalition government has also failed. Government of national unity means, in fact, if you remember, presentations at Parliament 2-3 years ago, I've said that what South Africa really needs is a government of national unity, so we all come together instead of attacking each other, insulting and abusing each other, so we all can take collective responsibility for the government of the country. However, what has happened in the 7th of October has changed the mindset. It's made us know and understand where we're heading, what is going to happen to the country, particularly if you're talking about human rights, if you're talking about Palestine, you look at some of what is happening in different Kashmir, look at in India, what has happened. You've never heard the South African government raising any concerns about that. So many are saying the ICJ will come to an end. Many are saying, remember, if you govern by the DA, there's no way with the DA in partnership with them and the IFP, which is pro-Zionist, all these parties that receive funding, which means you can then send, while the government of national unity can have a positive aspect in terms of the running of the country, if they are all sincere, which I sincerely doubt, it's going to go for each other the moment they get into that relationship, they've already indicated. But what we can then say is, you can say goodbye to the issue of pro-Palestine fighting for the rights of our people all over the country. Remember, there is an anti-Islamic agenda when it comes to the Zionists. The interference in this election and all the evidence that has unfolded and continue to be unfolded every single day will say to what extent they've interfered, and that's why parties are all going to court in terms of the credibility of the elections and the results. So, yes, I think we're in for a rough ride, a very, very rough ride in the next year or two, and perhaps over 5 years, in which direction the country is going to go. Also, I want to say there's a risk that should you ignore the MK and others, which it would appear the ANC to a large extent will try to follow that route, then there can be turmoil in the country again. You know, you can have a repeat of the 2021 riots that we've had in the country. You can hear that the MK is also saying, and remember, they know and understand best how elections are rigged, and they are also talking about how the elections have been, despite having over 2 million votes, they believe they're entitled to a lot more than that. And I can tell you with the evidence that we have seen all over, certainly the election was nowhere near free and fair. The least we want is to have the counting to be redone ethically in the presence of independent and objective people, which the IEC is totally ignoring. The government has said absolutely nothing, not even entertaining it, which is provoking people into wanting to start rioting and things. So that's the problem. We find ourselves in a very, very difficult situation currently. But it'll be interesting to see what direction they are going to go. My view is the ANC is going to go in with the DA and others. If you read the speech of the president, he's already going in that direction. There's also turmoil in the ANC. A large percentage of them don't want the relationship with the DA. So that is going to split the ANC more. Inevitably, what is to come is the demise, the total demise of the ANC, whether they go into this coalition. It will come faster. If they don't go into this coalition, they might give them some space of time. Very importantly, I believe that they should, if they can work with the MK together, and I know there's going to be demands, some might be unreasonable, but there'll be unreasonable demands on the other side as well. So they, if they want to protect their own interests and the interests of the country and ensure that the country is peaceful, they must also consider working with other political parties. However, if the agenda is, and they sold the principles, the ethics already to the West and to the Zionists, you can be rest assured they wouldn't even consider working with anybody other than the DA. And from what I can see, it would appear that negotiations, decisions have been taken, agreements have been reached. It's just a matter of time when we're going to
Now, given the complexity of our political landscape, there is no business as usual approach to governance. In the meantime, it is worth nothing, worth noting that the concerns raised by the 26 political parties remain unresolved. Until they are addressed, the electoral business remains unfinished. Now, when they say unfinished, you know, what does that really mean? Because, you know, there is things that are in process already to, you know, establish the government.
Well, yes, indeed. The IEC, to a very large extent, is ignoring the cries of their 26 parties. If you saw yesterday, again, the ANC, EFF, ANC, all other parties, MK, have signed this document calling, because it was the first PLC meeting that was held, raising concerns about the legitimacy of the election, how it was rigged, with all the evidence available. IEC, to a very large extent, is trying to ignore that. Government itself is ignoring it. You've never heard a single statement coming from them. I can tell you through reliable sources, I've also heard that the Western Cape part of the ANC and others have raised serious objections to this result and the rigging that took place. And the ANC at National has shut it down and asked them to you know, quieten down. So, yes, there's a high level of selfishness, political parties that have also been prejudiced in this. I see the PA has also come back on board and signed the one yesterday as well. But political parties that have been prejudiced, some of them, however, that might have got a couple of seats in parliament, are now taking the selfish route and saying it's not about the principle and ethics about what is right and what is wrong. If now we've got some seats, we can't take the chance and lose them. What if it's recounted? And some of the bigger parties find that no. I mean, I'll give you a good example in Pretoria from the Independent Observer. 90 votes, therefore, for the AM4C went to the PA. She said she probably thinks because it's an oversight, people were working tired, exhausted, and didn't notice it. But I, you know, it's just one good example I'm giving you. So, you know, so it simply means that it might have an effect on the bigger parties. Smaller parties certainly have been marginalized. The vote rigging has affected them more than anybody else. But also, parties like the MK also believe that despite the 2 million, they've been prejudiced. And I think with the inside information they have, and my investigation tells me that even the auditors were restricted into what they can audit and what they can't audit. Where before the elections, the results were verified coming from the voting station for capturing and things like that. So putting all that in together, it looks like that, like voter, you know, interference has taken place in elections all over the world. South Africa is no different. South Africa has not learned. You know, intelligence is so weak in the country, and we just let go. And we find ourselves in the situation we find. So until such time we hear from them and they want to do something, there are matters before the courts. And I know the courts are going to want to ignore it to a very large extent, because all these people are the same. It's the same president that appoints all these heads of this Chapter 9 institution. And that is going to provoke the political parties and people on the ground, because what we wanted is a free, fair, credible, and transparent election. We wanted to be recognized. You know, if people have supported us and wanted us to represent them, so be it. But you can't take that right away from us with all the time, the effort, the money, and the support of the people on the ground. That came. Certainly, it cannot be business as usual.
Now, finally, what's the way forward for Allied Movement for Change?
Well, on the one hand, the matters are before the court, and we're hoping sanity will prevail and they will do something. We are, at the same time, coming together, planning and for the 2026 local government elections that are coming. And, you know, this was the first time we were just 2 months, 2.5 months going into this. What is disturbing and disappointing is, you know, how it was just taken away from us, you know, with this vote rigging that is taking place. But at the same time, life must go on. We are at the moment concentrating on the 2026 local elections. So we are gathering our support all over the ground, working on where our strong voter support bases are, where we believe votes have been stolen away from us, looking at all those things and planning, and also trying to identify committed and dedicated, sincere candidates with integrity all over the country, so that inshallah we can make an impact in the 2026 election. Should the 2024 election that has just held doesn't yield any positive result in terms of the investigation. But if government thinks that, you know, people are going to sit back and do nothing about it, no, it's not going to happen. They need to sit down and have these. I mean, you know, if it's isolated cases here and there where it's not going to make a significant difference, my brother will say, let it go and just take better precautions next time. But it's not isolated cases. The complaints are running into thousands of objections at the moment with evidence. So really the problem has been quite humongous, and we think we need to deal with it.
Jazakallah, Brother Ahmad Manzoor, Sheikh Imam, for your valuable time. Despite being on journey, you know, that's quite stressful. May Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, grant you success. Many of us are also disappointed with the results, particularly those of us who have voted for your party. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant you success in your future endeavors.
Well, jazakallah to all our brothers and sisters who have faith and confidence and trust in the AM4C. The AM4C is here to stay, my brothers. Let's get all our brothers and sisters that want to be part of the solutions of the problems in this country to come together. Let's identify the right time of leaders, and inshallah, you know, all is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2026 is on its way, and if nothing happens in 2024, let us come back with a force, but with credible leaders, so we can make an impact, inshallah. Jazakallah to all our brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Brother Ahmad Sheikh, Brother Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, who is the president of the Allied Movement for Change.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.